Welcome to the teaching ministry of Daybreak Community Church. They invite you to join them for worship at 10 a.m. Sunday morning at 342 Nold Avenue in downtown Worcester. More information is at dccworcester.org. Here's Pastor Richard Frazier bringing real hope to real people from Daybreak Community Church.
Good morning, my friends. I'm Pastor Richard Frazier from Daybreak Community Church in downtown Worcester. We're glad you could join us here on 104.5 The River. Before we jump into today's special message, let us prepare our hearts for the reading of today's scripture.
Good morning, Daybreak. Guess what? Pastor Rich is back in the Gospel of Matthew. For those of you who have been with us for a while, you know that he spent a couple years or so preaching through the entire Gospel of Matthew, verse by verse. But our sermon series about the journey to Pentecost continues this week, and this is called The Great Commission. And I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, and I'm going to be reading from verse 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Amen. He is with us always.
Thank you, Bobby, for the reading of God's word. For the past 2 weeks, we've been walking through the incredible events that took place after Easter. First, we saw Jesus meet his disciples in their doubt, offering peace and calling them to believe, as we saw in John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. Then last week, we witnessed Jesus restoring Peter after his denial, proving that his love is greater than our failures and calling us to serve him with love. John chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. Now, imagine this scene. The disciples stand on a mountaintop in Galilee, the same place where they had walked with Jesus, listened to his teachings, and witnessed his miracles. They have seen the risen Lord with their own eyes, and their minds are still reeling from the wonder and confusion of it all. Just weeks ago, they were hiding in fear, unsure of what the future would hold. Now, they are face to face with the one who defeated death, the one who changed everything. In this powerful and intimate moment, Jesus does not just leave the disciples with words of comfort or encouragement. He gives them a mission. He gives them a purpose, a calling that will carry them forward into an uncertain future with unshakable purpose and divine authority. Think about it. Jesus doesn't command them to go and build a monument in his honor. He doesn't send them out to prove his resurrection to the skeptics or to get back at those who put him to death. Instead, Jesus calls them to go and make disciples, to replicate what he had done in their lives, pouring into others, teaching them, baptizing them, and shaping them into followers of the way. As we dig into these words, I want us to see that the Great Commission is not just something we know, it's something we live. It's a calling that stretches beyond our comfort zones and compels us to step out in faith. And the most incredible part, we don't go alone. The one who has all authority in heaven and on earth promises to be with us every step of the way. This is the Great Commission, the charge that would shape the church and define the purpose of every believer who follows Christ. The first part of today's lesson is the call to go. That is the call to go. As we look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19, then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." The first thing Jesus establishes in his authority, not just over Israel, but over all creation. This is a reminder that the mission of the church is not based on human strength, but on divine authority. The command to go is not optional. It is a direct order from the risen King. The call to go is a natural continuation of what we've seen in the disciples' journey so far. First, Jesus met them in their doubts and fears, offering peace and calling them to believe. Then he restored Peter after his denial, proving that his love is greater than our failures. Now he sends them out, not because they are flawless or spiritually elite, but because they have been transformed by grace. This pattern reflects an important truth for us. God doesn't wait for us to be perfect before calling us to serve. Thank goodness, too, because who would be able to serve if he had to wait on us to be perfect? He calls us because we have encountered his grace and are willing to follow. Discipleship is not just about receiving Christ's love. It's about sharing it. It's about taking what we've received, the grace, the forgiveness, the transformation, and passing it on to others. And you know what? There will be opposition. There will be persecution. And yes, there will be rejection. Yet we go with confidence because our mission is under the sovereign rule of Christ. In Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 20, when Peter and John are commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus, they boldly declare, "We cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." Their courage did not come from their own strength, but from the unshakable truth that Jesus, the one with all authority, had sent them. In the same way, we are called to go, whether it means reaching our neighbors, serving our communities, or crossing cultural and geographical boundaries. We go not because we are capable, but because Christ is powerful. Amen? Amen. Now, I get it. The mission can be scary, but the authority of Jesus makes it possible. And that mission is to make more disciples, to invite, to train, and to send out more in the name of Jesus. Now, the second part of today's message is the mission, make disciples. The mission, make disciples. Matthew chapter 28, the second part of verse 19 and the first part of verse 20. Let us look at it. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." The heart of the Great Commission is to make disciples. Notice that Jesus doesn't just say to make converts or churchgoers. He calls us to make disciples, followers who are actively learning and growing in their faith. Being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ means to learn from him and to stay close to him. These two requirements were essential for Christ's disciples then and likewise are necessary for us today. This mission has two main components. The first one is baptizing. This signifies a public commitment to Christ and an entrance into the family of God. It represents repentance, new life, and the work of the Holy Spirit. The second component is teaching. Discipleship is an ongoing journey. We are called to teach others to follow Christ, not just in knowledge, but in obedience. We see this pattern immediately in the early church. After Pentecost, Peter preaches boldly, and 3,000 people are baptized and begin their journey of discipleship. Let us look at Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 42. "Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer." I share this here to remind us that trusting Jesus, remaining obedient to the calling, and making disciples is powerful. After all, if we know that he is with us always, what do we have to be afraid of? Think about it. If we know he's with us always, what do we have to be afraid of? Amen? Amen. The third part of today's message is the promise of his presence. The promise of his presence. It says in Matthew chapter 28, the second part of verse 20, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." My friends, here's an interesting point about the Great Commission. It doesn't end with the commission. It ends with a promise. Jesus doesn't just send his disciples out on this mission alone. He goes with them. This assurance is the fuel that empowers the mission, reminding us that we do not make disciples in our own strength, but through the abiding presence of Christ himself. This promise echoes the words we heard in week one when Jesus told his disciples, "Peace be with you." John chapter 20, verse 21. In that moment, he met them in their fear and uncertainty, reassuring them that his presence would replace their anxiety with peace. Now, as he commissions them to go into all the world, he once again promises his presence, this time as a source of strength and courage. Jesus' promise also calls to mind the restoration of Peter in week two. After Peter's denial and failure, Jesus didn't abandon him, but restored him with love and called him to feed his sheep. This tells us that Jesus' presence is not contingent on our perfection or success. Whether we're bold like Peter on the day of Pentecost or faltering like him by the fire, Jesus is with us.
Thank you, Pastor Rich, for that message. It has brought back so many memories of messages I've preached over the past year or so. You know, I get to do some supply preaching. I preach here at Daybreak from time to time. I also do supply preaching at Parkview Christian Church, Lighthouse Christian Church in Orville, and Kilbuck Valley Christian Church down in Kilbuck. And I've preached sermons about, you know, God's presence, how when he created humanity, you know, he met with them in the garden in the cool of the day, right? And what happened when Adam and Eve sinned? Now, they ultimately got expelled from the garden, right? But the first question God asked right after they sin is, "Where are you? Where are you?" That shows us God is a God who seeks us out, right? He sought out Adam and Eve. Now, they did get expelled from the Garden of Eden, right? That did sever that presence they had with God. But God sought them out, right? He let them know what the consequences of their actions would be, you know, if they were disobedient, right? Then look at with Moses. God reaches out to Moses through a burning bush, right? He's a God who seeks us out. You know, there's the account in the Bible that, you know, God gave Moses the instructions, and he provided skilled craftsmen to build the temple, right? And, well, the tabernacle. Solomon will build the temple. My apologies. But God gave Moses very detailed instructions about how to build the tabernacle, which is, in effect, a mobile temple, right? And when the tabernacle was finished, God's glory filled the tabernacle. Right? Now, God's presence would then fill Solomon's temple, right? After Solomon completed the temple, you know, the one that David wanted to build, but God said, "No, you're a man of war. Your son, Solomon, from the root word shalom, right? Your son Solomon will be a man of peace, a son of peace, and he will build my temple. Well, that son of peace didn't last long, but that's not today's message, right? And so when the temple was completed, God's glory filled the temple. This is all about that presence. Whether it's Jesus coming from heaven to earth to be with us and providing his presence, or God pursuing us throughout history. You know, God wants to be with us. He wants us to be with him. That is why Jesus came. Now, when Jesus went to the cross, right, there is the finished work of Christ on the cross and the unfinished work of Christ. You might be saying, oh, hey, wait a minute. Christ didn't complete everything on the cross? Well, no. His atoning work was completed on the cross, right? That is finished. When Jesus went to the cross and was crucified, that would be the last blood sacrifice God would ever require for the atonement of sins. That is done. When Jesus said, it is finished, that signified, hey, look, this debt has been paid in full for everybody, right? But the unfinished work of Christ is what Pastor Rich has been talking about, this great commission. We need to go into all the world, right? When you look in Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus tells them that, you know, they're going to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Remember, Jesus came and was a Jew, right? So the first people God shared his message were the Jews. They were in Jerusalem, and they were in Judea. Then he goes to Samaria, the half-Jews and the half-Gentiles, right? And then finally, to us, the Gentiles, the uttermost parts of the earth. So we are continuing to bring the gospel message to our own neighborhoods, right? To our state, to our country, to countries around the world. I remember one time I was at a fundraising dinner for this organization that helped plant churches, right? And preacher Wayne B. Smith was delivering the message. And he had been the longtime preacher at Southland Christian Church in Lexington, Kentucky, and he passed many years ago. But I remember him saying at that fundraising dinner, he said, you know, people ask me, Brother Smith, if I don't tithe, will I go to hell? And he said, probably not, but somebody will. And what he was getting at is that when we tithe, right, and I know this message is not about tithing, but we're helping to provide the resources for outreach in the community, right? Worcester Hope Center doesn't happen without the generosity of all you people, right? So that's reaching out. That's being part of the Great Commission. You know, so outreach requires resources. to support missionaries to take this message around the world requires resources. And to share the gospel with others requires you. Jesus needs you to help. And that's what Pastor Rich has been saying all along. I know I got a little winded here, but anyway, God bless you, and the altar is open.
I personally want to say thank you for listening to today's message. I pray that the message challenged you and blessed you. Daybreak Community Church is a non-denominational church located at 342 Nold Avenue in downtown Worcester, and Sunday morning services are at 10 a.m. in person and on 104.5 The River. It is such a blessing for me to share God's truth with you each and every week. If you'd like to donate to our ministry, you can now do that online at dccworcester.org. That's dccworcester.org. Daybreak Community Church, dccworcester.org. All gifts are completely tax exempt and most definitely appreciated. Again, thank you all for taking the time to listen today, and thank you for supporting our ministry. God bless you.